Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and in today's show, we'll be talking about conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Mr. Gray. How are you?
I'm Gray. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you.
Excellent. Excellent. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Here we are again.
Yes.
It's great.
Getting to be a habit.
It's a miracle.
Hopefully it doesn't slide into conditioning.
Yes. Habitual in the conditioning sense versus in the sense of something that opens our heart.
Yes, something that causes us to be more present. And I was actually looking at that quite a lot because we had an event on Saturday that we've been telling people about for a very long time, the concert with Trish and Richard.
Yes.
And I was looking at it afterwards and thinking that one of the I would consider it kind of truths of life that I would love to be able to communicate effectively with people is that if whatever it is that we want in life, we need to arrange our lives so that that's what our lives are made up of.
Yes.
So one of the things that we talk about periodically is that one process does not lead to another.
Yes.
So I can't lead a stressful life working toward a time when I'll be relaxed.
Yes.
Because whatever that time is, when I get to it, I will still be stressed. Because what I'm learning to do is be stressed. And getting to a certain date is not going to change that. So if I want to be relaxed, I need to learn to be relaxed right now and do whatever it is that I want to do relaxed.
Yes.
Okay, so a lot of people spend their lives in wanting stuff, and it's really important to get it that wanting stuff only leads to wanting stuff. It actually doesn't lead to getting stuff or having stuff.
Yes.
It just leads to wanting stuff. So we all know that one. We think as soon as I get whatever that is, then I'll be happy. And I get whatever that is, and I'm still not happy. I just want the next thing that's there on the list underneath this other thing that I wanted that I thought was going to make me happy.
Yes.
So if I want to have a peaceful life, if I'm moving toward freedom, toward liberation, then I want to fill my life with people and activities and focuses that produce that result in my life.
Yes.
So the event on Saturday was one of those. If I want to live in a world of kindness and compassion and peace and joy, then I want to avail myself of opportunities to be around people and be in places and be doing things that are heart-opening and joyful and lead to peace and freedom and that sort of thing.
Yes. It reinforces that experience.
Yes. Yeah. It actually takes us to that place. Okay, so on Saturday, the thing that I heard from just about everybody, everybody I talked to who was there, was how, in fact, heart-opening it was, how moving it was, how touched they were, how much love they felt, the compassion. Okay, so we go to that place, we have that experience, it reinforces the reality of that in our lives, it also reinforces the possibility, and it's a very good thing to do, rather than I'm going to do these other things that do not open my heart, that do not touch me or move me or give me a sense of peace or joy or freedom. I'm going to do these things now because down the road sometime, somewhere, doing these things will result in that feeling that I want to have. They don't make me happy now, but they're going to make me happy later. And if we see that what we're going to have later is what we have now, then it can create in us a motivation to make sure now is the way we want it to be. And we can always have now the way we want it to be if what we want is presence, joy, freedom, understanding, acceptance.
Yes.
Yeah.
When we want what we get.
Yes.
Yes.
When we want where we are.
Yes. Yes. Wow, that's big. Mm-hmm. We could just stop there for today.
Right. But there might be somebody out there who wants to talk more about that.
You know,
or has something else that they would like to talk about. Never know.
Yes. And in fact, there are four somebodies out there. Would you believe that?
I love that.
And just before I get to them, I want to make a little plug here for an email class that you're starting this Friday, July 1st.
That is true.
It's on meditation.
Yes.
And if people want to sign up for that, it's by donation, and they can find out on the website at livingcompassion.org.
Yes. And, you know, now this is another one of those perfect examples of what I was just talking about, because there are a lot of people who would say, I don't need to do an email class on meditation. I already meditate.
Yes.
That's not the point. We want to be in the conversation. We want to be in the room with. We want to have that kind of attention and awareness reinforced in our lives in every way that we can find to have it reinforced. The attitude of mind that says, oh, I already meditate, doesn't.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's one of those, yeah, I often kid about politicians. You know, anybody who wants to be a politician is immediately disqualified. The fact that they want to do it disqualifies. They should be taken into office kicking and screaming and protesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So somebody who says, oh, I don't need to do a class on meditation, I already meditate. No, they don't.
Yes.
Yeah, that's just a little challenge to people who might be hearing that kind of conditioned voice.
Yes. Absolutely. So if you're interested in the email class, it goes for the month of July, and if you go to livingcompassion.org and click on the What's New page, you'll find all the information right there.
Mm, I think meditation is a good thing to, class on meditation, you want to start around Independence Day.
Oh, great.
Don't you think?
Independence Day.
Yeah, Liberation
yes.
Day.
Yes.
Freedom Day.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I see a common theme there.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to our caller, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
Welcome, Beth from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sherry. Okay, I've been listening to what you were saying before about the wanting.
Uh-huh.
And that's exactly what I've been looking at.
Uh-huh.
Just the whole wanting and wanting and wanting.
Yeah, which leads to more wanting and wanting and wanting. That's
yeah, there's no solution. There's no end.
That's right.
Just on and on and on.
That's right. In Buddhism, we call it the wheel of karma.
Again and yet again.
Yes.
Yeah, but the last time I saw you, you had advised, well, not advised, but kind of pointed out the I don't know mind.
Mm-hmm.
And how often in my practice I'm continually lured back into trying to figure it out,
mm-hmm.
particularly when I know I'm off.
Mm-hmm.
Like I identify that, you know, I'm off center, you know, there's some queasiness, you know, I'm not happy, I'm not, you know, whatever, and then I immediately try to figure out how to get back to center.
Mm-hmm.
And
it just takes you farther and farther off course, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, and exactly, it's yes that's actually kind of where I've had moments of clarity, where, you know, it's like the clouds open and all of a sudden, you know, there's the breath,
mm-hmm.
and everything's okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's so it, isn't it? Conditioned mind wants me to figure out where I went off.
Yes.
And the answer to being off is come back to the breath.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
But it's also just kind of like relaxing into being off.
Yes.
Kind of, I read a quote by Gandhi that said that the only thing that God requires of us is to gain the freedom that's worth having is complete and total surrender.
You got to love him, huh?
Yeah.
Only thing. It's like, you know, it's like just put that 50-cent piece in the plate.
Yes.
So all that's required. Yeah.
All that's required is surrender.
That's right. And, you know, we phrase that as all that's required is that you accept that which is totally unacceptable to you.
Yes.
Which comes to the same thing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And when the beauty of it is that as soon as we give up our egocentric clinging to this one little thing that ego wants, our reward is to have it all.
Yes.
See, it's so, the Gandhi quote is so beautiful because we can't receive, in the way he's talking about, we can't receive all that God wants to give us until we surrender our will, because our will is the only thing standing between us and all that God wants to give us.
Willingness is the key.
Willingness is, in fact, the key.
I've been, I was talking to somebody who made a comment about how afraid they were of the life that I've been living since I left the monastery.
Uh-huh.
Because there's a whole bunch of I don't know. I really don't know.
And do you try to reassure this person that actually you just got with the program?
Well, no, I just immediately go into, oh, you know, you're right, I got to start my business, I got to settle down, I got to put my stuff back, you know, I got to grow up.
Uh-huh.
And
which is not at all in opposition to I don't know.
You're right.
It's not in opposition at all. But what people believe is, okay, if I'm going to grow up, which is a really, it to me, that ranks right up there with calling these places adult bookstores, you know, or this is an adult movie. What could be farther? I mean, if that's the definition of adult, who wants to be one?
Yeah.
Okay? So, and if somebody thinks I'm just being prudish, we can carry on that conversation at another time. But right now, what we're focused on, if you're going to grow up, that means you have to turn your life over to conditioned mind to tell you how you should be living.
Right, because I'm going to starve, you know.
That's right.
I'm going to be old. I'm not going to be able to take care of myself, you know.
Right. Rather than what you're doing is turning your life over, if we stay with the Gandhi quote, you're turning your life over for life to direct you in the way that is going to give you everything you want.
And when I'm in that space, there is no fear of what's going to happen.
None.
You know, it's like I just know that everything, I mean, well, it's not, I mean, there's, it's just,
Yes. And, again, now from egocentric karmic conditioning or conditioned mind, you know, that lives outside of center, you know, it's going to say things like, but you're going to get old, but you're not going to have enough money, but you're going to...
Yeah.
And the only answer to that is yes.
Yes.
That's true. I am going to get old. Now, do I want to get old happy, or do I want to get old insecure, anxious, freaked out, terrified, clinging, desperate? Because I'm going to get old
either
way.
Either way.
So I
either way,
relaxed and happy and at home and trusting life completely, or I can be out of my mind with fear and an attempt to control.
It's like you were saying earlier, it's like if I'm living for something in the future, then, you know, the future is going to be just like now.
Exactly like now. And, it you know, it goes that way wherever you are. If you are living in a state of relaxation and peace and trust and faith right now, that's what your future is going to be like. It's not going to change just because something happened that you don't like. Things are happening right now that you wouldn't like if you decided to identify with ego.
Yep.
Ego doesn't like anything.
That's true.
Yeah. It's way easier, way more simple than conditioned mind would ever want us to know.
Yes. I'm finding that you've also stated before that it's important to stay in Sangha.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I keep taking these journeys out, and I can only, it's like I run out of gas.
Yeah.
Before I have to come back.
Yeah. Yeah.
And be with people who also want to have, you know, life.
Wake up.
Yes.
In suffering.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's just how it is. Ego wants to suffer.
Yes.
And it's not going to say that. It's going to tell you that what it wants is a relationship and to live happily ever after, or it wants to be successful, or
mm-hmm.
it wants to be famous. It wants all of these things that will make you truly happy and make you the person that you should be. And it's all just a load. It's just not true. What you know it underneath that is, I want to get you out there and have you be miserable. And then people get to prove that to themselves over and over and over and over and over.
Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Beth, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray, and we'll be back with you in just a couple minutes. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, we got a big lineup here.
We're going to have to talk faster, huh?
Well, we'll just, just run it all together.
Yeah. Just leave out those spaces between.
Yeah, leave out the consonants or the vowels or something.
Mm-hmm. Who we got?
We have Pat from Wisconsin. I welcome you to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Pat.
Hi, Sherry. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. You?
Well, I'm pretty good, thank you. First of all, thank you for the archives. It's the main way I listen. I really, really benefit from them. I appreciate them. Secondly, I've gotten the CD set Radical Self-Acceptance, and it's very good, very interesting, lots of good practice in there. One thing that I really enjoyed noticing is when you talked about how we might have a favorite emotion, you know, kind of a default emotion that we go to, even though it might not be, you know, joy. And I've noticed that moment when I choose to go there, and that's kind of a wonderful little moment when I go, oh, I just chose to go there, you know, from whatever prompting or stimulus or just because it's the thing I do. I don't know.
Yeah. If it's just that you didn't choose to do something else.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm choosing a feeling. Mm-hmm. And I'm noticing that, and that's great. But one thing that I'm experiencing that I'm really having trouble accepting is I'm 50 years old, female, and I'm going through perimenopause.
Mm-hmm.
So my body throws, this is my belief here, that's throwing emotions at me just bam, bam, bam. I'm saying, wait a minute, I'm not picking this.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Where is this coming from?
Well, I'll just tell you my experience of that, okay? And
okay.
That is that I think menopause is a great thing. I think men ought to get more into it. So that they can join the good time. Because to me, menopause is like adolescence with consciousness.
Well, you know, it kind of is. There's the sexual feeling.
Yeah.
The emotional spikes.
Yeah. It's the same in adolescence. It's just like somebody hooked you up to something, and none of it is familiar, right?
Right.
You don't know yourself. You're just nuts. There, it's just these hormones are raging around. I mean, you just one day you're a different person than anybody you've ever known before, and it's kind of horrifying for everybody. And so menopause is the same thing. But if we're fortunate, and you are one of the fortunate ones, you are bringing to it an ability to pay attention and be aware of what's happening. So you have a chance to see how a human being is put together in a way that is a real gift.
I like that. I like that different point of view. You know, it beats, why am I crying?
Yes. You know, a few years ago, I had Graves' disease, which is hyperthyroidism.
Okay.
And, you know, now, if there are medical people listening, I apologize for this in advance, but medical people who have their thyroids will say to you, you know, you don't need your thyroid. You can take synthetic thyroid medication, and it's just like having your thyroid. Well, no, it isn't. Okay? No, as a matter of fact, it's not, in the same way that anything that is artificial is not the same as the real thing. It's just simply not. When I had Graves' disease, I was stunned at what the thyroid does in the body. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
The only time that I'd had an experience that was somewhat similar was when I went through a period of having I don't know if it was a full blown case of hypoglycemia, and watching what happens when the blood sugar levels drop in the body, it's amazing. Now, all of these states that we think of as emotional, just watching them get triggered because of what glands are doing, because of what's being produced or not produced by the body. Okay? So here we are now in menopause,
mm-hmm.
All right? And these systems that have been functioning in a particular way for years, for all the time you've known yourself,
mm-hmm.
right? Suddenly, somebody just threw the whole thing up in the air,
yeah.
And you get to find out who are you. Now, if you cling to who you were, it's going to be painful. But if you go into what, you know, we were talking about just a little bit ago, I don't know. You know, who are you? I don't know. You know, clearly, you're not the person that you were from age, 14, 15 to 50?
Yeah.
Okay, that person's gone. So who are you now? Well, you get to find out. And you get to find out how that person is created and maintained.
That's true. And what you said, it really just hit me. It's the same thing that you said on the CD. This is a feeling in my body. I call it an emotion.
Yes.
And I label it, and then I have a judgment about, oh, I'm sad. Oh, what am I?
Right. What does this mean, and where does this come from, and what should I do? You know, that what should I do is ego's big weapon.
Right.
You know, what should I do? Well, nothing. Just watch the sensation. Watch the energy pass through my... Why do I need to do anything about it?
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, thank you very much.
It is. It's very exciting. So
it is.
Yeah, hopefully, you'll be able to spend more time in that. Wow, this is an amazing opportunity, rather than, oh my God, why is this happening to me? Which, in my experience, also passes through.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you,
ma'am.
Bye.
All right. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Pat. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio.
See, Michael, doesn't it kind of make you wish you could experience menopause?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
maybe I could get some drugs or something to simulate the process.
Well, now, again, I think if men were conditioned like women are and paid a little closer attention, they would notice that they have a lot of the same stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sounds like a little homework there for the men listeners.
That's right. That's right.
Great. We have another caller.
Good.
I'd like to welcome Michael from California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hey, Michael.
Hi. That was an interesting conversation about menopause. My wife is there, and so I'm not going to talk about that.
You and your wife are going through menopause?
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh. It's an interesting experience.
Yes, it is. It's like...
You know, if you've been married as long as we have, you go through everything.
Yeah. And, you know, in the old days, of course, women got pregnant.
Yeah.
And men were, you know, just sort of around to whatever.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we realize one person in a relationship doesn't get pregnant.
No.
Two people get pregnant.
Both of our children were born. I wasn't planning on talking about this, but since we were on it, both of our children were born by C-section, and I was in the operating room for the second one.
Uh huh.
And they had a barrier set up, so I couldn't see anything, of course. But I was just utterly astounded at the violence of what was going on down there.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole bed was shaking. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't have believed it had it not been there in the room.
Yeah. My father was in the room when I was born, and I'm the second child.
Yeah.
And my mother always said, that's why there are only two of us.
Yeah.
He said, oh, no. This is not okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you sometime about the number one. That was interesting.
What did you call to talk about, Michael?
I called to tell you, well, first off, I wanted to ask you a question about something you said last week. But before that, I got so excited today because starting on PBS tonight, there's a 14-part series hosted, narrated by Robert Redford. And I'm just going to read you what it says from the QED, that's our local PBS station webpage. It says, tells the dramatic stories of 14 daring social entrepreneurs who are undaunted by the chronic challenges of poverty, illness, unemployment, violence, and ignorance they see in the world around them. And it goes on. And the program tonight, it says one of the people they're going to talk about is, in Africa, Moses Zulu has created a home and school for AIDS orphans and other children in Zambia to nurture their growth in productive adults.
Would you get that? You know, we're not TV type, so
I know. I'm going to tape it tonight.
Wonderful.
And also, I'm going to send an email to Living Compassion to
excellent
because on this program has a web page and it says you can go out there and volunteer to be a hero or something. So I think we need to tell them about Living Compassion.
Well. Yes, and when our monks are over there in a couple of weeks,
yes,
they can look these folks up and.
Absolutely.
Shake their hands and thank them for their work and see how we might be able to participate with them.
Yes. I got really excited when I saw
that. Yeah, very good. Thank you.
The other thing I wanted to was, I think it was the show last week that you mentioned that you were at a conference in Pacific Grove.
Yes.
And you said the next day you were going to address the conference and you were going to tell them that it wasn't necessary to think that there was something wrong to get involved in social action.
Yes.
How was that received?
It was quite wonderful.
Good.
As a matter of fact, the organization asked me to join them and offered to waive my fees.
Oh.
So apparently it was not an offensive message at all.
Great.
And the take, of course, that I offered on it was one that couldn't offend very many people.
Yeah.
And that is that if the ills of the world cause our hearts to open,
mm-hmm,
and cause us to want to do something to bring peace, compassion, loving kindness into the world, how can we call that wrong?
Yes.
Would we really idealize a world that never called us to that kind of awareness? I think, you know, many of us have lived in that world, and it's called unconsciousness. So it is shocking as we begin to wake up how much suffering there is and how much of that suffering exists simply because of indifference or insensitivity or selfishness or that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But to use our awakening as an opportunity to find that place of compassion, loving kindness in ourselves, and then to want to reach out to other other beings, that seems like a very a great gift.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're a wonderful, wonderful group of human beings. So, although I probably said, I can't remember, but the person who introduced me said, oh, I'm eager to see how this is going to fly with this crowd.
Oh.
And it was good because, of course, what we talked about is the thing that we do all understand, and that is that you can't create a more loving world by hating people.
Right.
Even if the people who are being hated are being hated because they're hateful people,
yeah.
Just the math doesn't work.
No.
Yeah.
Well, just call in to report those two things. Or
all right. Well, I'm very eager to see that that program.
I hope nobody.
Fellow, thank you.
I have a note on the VCR saying, "Don't touch this. I have to record this tonight." So
good.
hope that works.
All right. Thank you, Michael.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Michael. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, it's exciting to hear that other people are doing great work in the world as well.
Oh, it's just since we've started doing work in Zambia, the number of people that we have come in contact with through, you know, this sort of thing that Michael is talking about, or somebody at a Pittsburgh retreat recently cut out an article from their local newspaper. The young woman who's started a thrift store to raise money to buy school uniforms, excuse me, for kids in Zambia. I mean, it's just everywhere, everywhere. Wonderful, wonderful stuff that people are doing. It's really heartening. And to me, it goes back to that thing that I started out talking about. You know, we can either focus on the nightly bad news, or we can turn our attention to the efforts that people are making to bring peace and compassion into the world and be very, very heartened by what's happening.
Yes, yes. So another example of the quality of our lives being determined by the focus of our attention.
Precisely. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Because if we live in a world of bad news, which is something that a lot of good people believe is the good person thing to do. It's like, I'll say to people, just turn off the news. Cancel that newspaper subscription. Turn off the television at that time of day. And turn off the radio. And they feel bad. But I have to know what's, I should know. I mean, all these things are, okay, yeah, all those things are happening. And so are all of the things that very, very few people are interested in reporting, which is the kind of work that we're doing and this fellow that Michael is talking about, and thousands and thousands and thousands of people all around the world, millions of people around the world. So let's turn our attention, let's make that the focus of our attention, and be encouraged and heartened and excited and empowered.
Sounds good to me. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness, responding to your email questions, and taking your calls. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, it's great to connect with so many people today.
It is. It's what we were just talking about. It's heartening.
Yes, it is heartening. I'd like to welcome Amy from Wisconsin. You're Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Amy.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good, I had a little static burst there. Well, I'm struggling through the two toughest jobs right now. I'm a mom and a teacher. I was kind of laughing at the menopause stuff and then the pregnancy stuff. We're expecting another baby in 2 months. And my question or, my struggle, I guess, has to do with children. Really, you know, my kids are 3 and 5 right now, and we're really working to bring them up with a good self-image. You know, we want to use discipline instead of punishment. I happen to be a Montessori teacher, and my kids are going to Montessori school. So I thought, okay, that's a good start. But I ran into a problem last week.
Oh, dear.
There was a hitch. And we've been doing really good, and we were doing the 1-2-3 magic, you know, stuff for discipline. It's working pretty good. But for about 3 weeks, we noticed they're really, really disobedient. They're not listening. It's to the point where you say, you know, you have to keep this off or whatever, and they just wait until you're out of the room and then do it. And I'm thinking it's becoming a safety issue because they're little enough and they need to stay in the yard and be safe. And, of course, last week it got real bad, and they were downstairs, long story short, playing with water in the humidifier and pouring it into their toys. And I stayed real cool, and I said, you look at this water. It's got mold in it. You can't play with that. You know, you're getting water all over the floor. It's all over the toys. Go upstairs. I'll be up in a minute. No water. Stay out of the water. So, of course, I changed over a load of laundry and cleaned that up and came upstairs to find them pouring buckets of water through a dresser drawer on the carpet.
Good idea.
And I'm going, whoa. So that was the first time they ever received a spanking and were put to bed without dinner. And it was about 6 o'clock. And I thought, okay, this is they've just pushed it too far. I don't know what else to do. And I blew and, you know, talked to Mom, and she's like, well, I guess, you know, you had to lay down the law, but we don't want to continue like that.
Right.
And I'm saying, where do you turn to raise these kids with the confidence and self-image and discipline?
I'm right there, okay? See, I think, now there are a couple of things about this, and in Zen, we say, with the ideal comes the actual.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right, which you know perfectly well, right? So there's what we would do under the perfect circumstances, and then there's what we really do because that's what's actually going on.
Right.
Now, my child rearing philosophy is your children learn who you are. That's it. That's all they learn. They don't learn anything about who you tell them to be or how to.
Oh, right. They model everything you do.
They model everything that you do, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So now what I'm going to say is what you could have learned from that little humidifier episode is that these kids are really into pouring water.
Oh, absolutely. But they have, and of course I went there and I thought, they've got opportunity to pour the water in the tub. They go outside. They've got their buckets. They've got water play everywhere.
That's right. But here's the real thing that you could have learned from that episode. You can't leave these kids alone.
Right, not even to change the laundry over.
Not even to change the laundry. Not to walk, not to go to the bathroom. Okay? So
is that realistic?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It really is. That's what is so.
You just tote them everywhere no matter what.
Huh?
So you either you follow them everywhere or they follow you.
That's right. If you don't want them doing things you don't want them to do.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Now, what adults do, what grown-ups do as an alternative to that is make the kids afraid until they can make them feel guilty.
Right, and that's what I don't want to do.
Little people, you know, they don't feel guilty. I mean, it takes a lot of hard work to make a child feel guilty.
It does.
Yeah. And so if you don't want that, then the alternative is really bad news. And that is that you have to, because these kids at 3 and 5, they don't know from nothing. OK, They don't care about dresser drawers. They don't care about carpet. They don't pay for these things.
Right.
They don't care.
The three-year-old, definitely. It was the five-year-old that... And, of course, you know, what I did was after, you know, all this and whatnot, and pregnancy and training and school, I had a temper tantrum.
You had a temper tantrum.
Is what I did.
That's right. Now, sure. The thing that you have a chance to do is show them an adult who doesn't feel bad or guilty about getting emotional.
And how do you do that?
Well, you learn not to feel bad or guilty.
And I think that I did a pretty good job with. I talked it through and said, well, this is what happened. I couldn't control it, and, you know.
Yeah.
Most of the time we're doing really well.
Yeah. Well, I don't think getting emotional is a problem.
I don't either. My husband would beg to differ. It's like, you know what, showing emotion, if you're angry, is okay, as long as you're not being destructive or abusive verbally.
Look, I agree with him. I agree wholeheartedly. What you do is go over in the corner and jump up and down and scream and yell and, you know, whatever it is. You don't direct it at the kids.
Right. You say, I'm so angry because of this happening.
That's right.
Right.
That's right. And you don't feel bad about it. So then they get to feel whatever their emotions are. But to me, the difficult place that you're in is that there is no way to get those kids to do what you want them to do when you're not there to make sure that it happens without making them afraid of you. And the bind that parents get into is that they want to figure out how to control that child without making the child afraid. And it's not possible.
Yeah, that's a good point, because as I was considering this, you know, all week, I thought, well, I can't let them out of my sight.
That's right.
And I thought, is that realistic, really? Is that?
Yes, it is.
And, it is.
And here's the thing about that, you see. It's a difficulty in this country at this time.
Oh, it's very difficult with our schedules and
whatnot.
That's
right. Throughout history, children are born into extended families. So
right.
There's always somebody there who those children are going to be with. Now we have these isolated little families, parents who are both working. You know, there isn't anybody, there's nobody but the parents to do this job. And so, you know,
Well, absolutely. My husband stays at home with the children during the day. I come home, kiss him goodbye, he goes to work. So essentially we're single parents.
Yes.
And there's nobody to help you, not to mention I have a real busy career and he's doing lots of things.
That's right.
And I'm going, why? This is nuts.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So simplify. I don't know how.
Yeah, so it's just good, isn't it, to realize that that's true. And what most people do, whether it's with parenting or with any number of other pieces of content that we could go into, people want to accomplish ridiculous, absurd things in ridiculous, absurd ways. So I'm going to work a full-time job. I'm going to have a partner who also works full-time, a different schedule. We're going to have two little children, then we're going to have another one, and we're never going to lose our tempers, and we're going to raise these children without any trauma.
Well, see, the one thing I think we, you know, we're on our spiritual path, we try real hard not to beat ourselves up for the times that we will fall, because
that's,
we know that's going to happen.
That's a very good thing.
And we're not going to, you know, these kids aren't going to be scarred for life if every once in a while we screw up.
Well, and do you get my point, though?
Yeah.
That we set up these impossible lives.
Oh, yeah, that's part of America.
That's right. And then attempt to hold ourselves to these ridiculous standards.
Well, what drives me crazy is what I get from men, usually, who are close to me. They say, you know what, you made these choices. And I think, you know what, to have a house and keep the lights on and keep these kids fed and enclosed, I don't have these choices. And the career I've chosen as a Montessori teacher, you know, you got to throw everything into it. And I think, oh, my gosh, but you're trying to be that mom and that wife and everything. And I don't know how to choose anything else now that I'm here.
That's right.
Stuck.
and, you know, the point is still a good one. And to me, it's liberating rather than oppressive. These are your choices. So enjoy them.
Yeah.
Part of enjoying them is periodically you reach the end of the proverbial rope. Okay? And if you can do that with good cheer as a good sport, okay, then these events are going to become things that your family laughs about rather than things that your children are in therapy about.
Well, that's a good way to look at it. So the key is still do the best we can and don't beat ourselves up when we don't. And we do keep that communication open with the kids as much as is their developmental level as possible.
Absolutely, which is extreme. Their developmental level is usually much more capable than ours.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your advice and calms me down a little bit.
Good. Well, let us know how it goes.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Amy. It's great to have everybody on the air today, Sherry.
Now, did we get through all the people who called, or is there somebody we need to invite for next week?
But there's a couple of people we've invited back to join us again next week.
Oh, that's good. We have something to look forward to.
Yeah. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. Thanks, everybody.
Talk to you again next week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.